We'll be in Revelation 18. I'm going to pick up the reading here and verse number 23. And y'all try to forgive me there. I got a lot of information, and I'll try to go over some of the best stuff because this morning's study is going to kind of tie in with some of the studies that we're going to get into with the preaching and as we get into the book of Mark. And so I'm going to read this verse and try to find some of the information here that I took some screenshots of a study that I went over with a man named Spencer Smith. He done a lot of research on some of the things that's going on with this modern movement. And I'm going to try to get the one of some of the most popular teachers. I think this one guy I've got, he is in here somewhere. I think it's Tony Evans is his name. But let's see. I may just have to go with some of these other ones till I had to find Tony Evans's quote. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what's going on. Once you read the Bible, man, it'll like some of the old preachers, you say reading your Bible unfits you for a lot of preaching. But now this is what I do want to say before I get into this. There are a lot of people who mean well, just like me and anybody else. There's people that mean well, and they don't mean to teach you wrong. But you're supposed to grow, and if you grow and you find something you were teaching wrong, you're supposed to repent of that and change your mind and say, I was wrong about that, and teach it right. The trouble is, so many people hate being wrong more than they love the truth.
That's right.
I hope I phrased that right.
That's right.
We're supposed to love the truth so much that when we realize we're wrong about something, I say, look, I love the truth more than I hate being wrong, so I'm gonna accept this and move on. And what happens is a lot of these teachers that they don't rightly divide their Bible, and they mix everything up and they mix the programs up, and that's where you get into this what we're gonna read about, and then it gets real dangerous in there. Especially what's going on in a lot of these larger works. Now, I'm not saying a large work is of the devil. I know that there are some places out there who believe correctly, and they do have a lot of people going, but it's just getting far and few in between, because like here, we got a few people here this morning, and as long as you got a fewer number there, I don't have to worry about offending very many people. But as the group gets bigger and bigger, you get people from different walks of life and stuff, and then before long, this one believes this one thing, this other one believes this other thing, and before long, a lot of preachers, they get what I call a leash. They get on a leash, and they get to where they don't want to offend this group, and they don't want to offend this other group, what they believe, and then it's error just creeps into the teaching. It's all over the place. So the best thing to do is just preach the truth, and the truth will take care of it. And if people like it, they don't, they don't. But when you get to Revelation 18, verse number 23, he's talking about the destruction here of this system, this one world government, one world system. But look at some of the things that are going on, this destruction. It says, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in the east. And the city's going to be so much, it's going to be no, because you got to have candles for light. There's going to be no more light in the houses. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in the, because you remember the Lord Jesus Christ had said there's going to be marrying and giving in marriage in those last days. And he said, up until the day that Noah was taken away, he said, it's going to be like the days of Noah. And he said, man, up until the last day, till the rain started falling, they was marrying and giving in marriage, trying to take on life just like... And right here, he said, by this time, they're not even doing anything. Everything's cut out. Okay, so we're right here near the destruction of Babylon. But watch what it says. It says, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Now, before I get into these sorceries, look at this deception here. Just to remind you, take your Bible and turn to Revelation 13, verse number 14. And I want you to see something about this deception, and then we can kind of tie it into what's going on. Now, as you're turning there, I want you to know that the Bible does say in our dispensation, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So it's working now, and from what I can understand about the Bible, I believe that because the devil does not know when the Lord is going to catch away the bride of the body of Christ. So what happens is, with the devil knowing, hey, any day the body of Christ can be taken out, He tries to keep his deception going so that he's ready anytime with false doctrine so the world can pick up with the program or the course of this world. Now watch how he deceives here, because by the end, you're going to see what he's doing now in moderation. He's going to be doing to an extreme. So by the time you get to Revelation 13, it tells you, look at verse number 13. It says, "And he doeth great wonders." Well, people are fascinated by wonders and stuff today. "So that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." He makes sure men can see it. See, he counterfeits God. You remember over there in the Old Testament, Elijah, the whenever he was combating the false prophets, and God makes fire come down and take up that water. And look, I think the word says lick up all the water or something along those lines. But it comes up and takes up all that water. So he's trying to counterfeit what God does. So Satan does have a lot of power. So, but he makes sure he does it in the sight. See, if he can get you to go by sight, he can. The hand is faster than the eye. That's like magic, magicians, see? They trick you. And it says, "And deceiveth them." Remember he said he's deceiving. "Deceiveth them that dwell on earth." How? "By the means of those miracles which he had power to do." Watch this. "In the sight again of the beast. Saying to them that dwell on earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live." So, power to do those miracles. Judas, Bible said Judas was a devil.
Yes.
Now, over in John chapter 6, so Judas is working for the devil the whole time. He's doing miracles like everybody else. And look, let me tell you something, how deceptive he was. That when the Lord tells the disciples, he said, "Hey, one of you is going to betray me." None of them said, "Well, I bet you it's Judas."
That's right.
They said, "Is it I?" See, we've been watching cartoons. If y'all are anything like us, I watch cartoons with a kid, and y'all always see the devil. He's real easy to spot. He's red. He's got this pitchfork, got the horns coming out and all this stuff, and he looks evil. The devil is not like that, man.
Right.
He gets up there, and he's got this body language like, "You know, now look, folks, you can have your best life now." And he smiles a lot. See, he don't want to tell you anything about sin. He's not going to tell you anything about repenting of the knowledge of the truth or nothing like that. He wants everything just to... And man, people just flocked to it and drove. And he said, "You know, everybody, it's one place. We're all going to many paths, but all one place. And everybody, we can just be and hold hands." And man, I hate that old wimpy stuff. Man, I'm sitting there thinking, how can somebody listen to this guy get up here and just... We'll just... You know, he's just kind of swaying while he's talking. But man, that guy's weird. Get him away from me. But you know what that is? The world loves this smooth, just low. And y'all, I'll tell you something. That stuff will go for a lot of them big cities. These country folks, working folks, they're not going to listen to Jim.
That's right.
You get up here, something to be said about a working man, a woman out here having to make ends meet and out here. Why? Because you have to depend on God. You get in a lot of these cities, and I'm not saying everything about a city is evil, but you see over in the Bible, the first place when Cain built that city and all that evil comes up with it, everything's easy access and stuff like that. You ever notice how country folks, they get out here and they got to work in the garden and stuff like that, or they got to drive here and drive there, and guess what? They got time to think. Well, you know, everything happens so fast, nobody has time to think. And that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to get you so busy, you don't have time to slow down and think. You know, one of the best things that can happen for a family is take a little time out and sit around, relax on the front porch, drink you some coffee, and talk to one another a little while. Why? It gives you time to think and just rest your mind. The devil don't want to give you any rest of mind. Why? You can't think about it. So you'll go by sight. And you go by feelings. Okay, so that verse tells you about these sorceries over here. And I want to give you some things about these sorceries. Let me see if I can find a good starting place. If y'all will here, take your Bible and let's start off in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And you got this whole phenomena going on today. These it's literally a religious spiritual phenomena that's based in ignorance, but it's superstition, it's objects, it's rituals, incantations, all this stuff. That's why you got all this bizarre activity going on today. It's because people are so fooled by lies that they can be fooled by sight.
Right.
And there's people doing all kinds of things. So people say, you know, instead of believing the truth, you got this whole thing now. Well, I know so-and-so's got the Bible and they teach the Bible. Well, we went so-and-so, man, and they had this big old praise music. Man, these people got up there and they said all this stuff. They had this wonderful song. And we could just feel the presence of the Lord there. There is not one place in your Bible you're supposed to, you're commanded to feel anything.
That's right.
That's how the devil can get you. That's how, you know, I've talked to people about their salvation. And you ask them if they trusted the gospel and they say, hey, man, I'm telling you, I just don't feel saved. Well, join the club then. I don't feel saved. Why? Because you let me have a bad day and stuff breaks down and I can't find my tools and stuff. I know it sounds carnal, but man, I have some days everything I do falls apart. And I get mad and you think I feel saved? But you know what? I don't have to feel saved. I'm saved because of what I've trusted in, not because of how I feel.
Right.
Well, these bodies don't care anything about spiritual activity. It's the inner man. So I have to rely on the truth of the fact that, hey, I know I'm saved because of what Jesus Christ did. I have to remind myself of that oftentimes. Why? Because this flesh desires to do what's wrong. That's just what flesh does. People say, well, you don't know what's in my mind. So that's what you had to be saved from, because your flesh would do the wrong thing. So I'm saved based on what Christ did, not what I can do. But see, you got this whole movement now with teachers like, and I'll give you quotes as we go into the study later on, because I'm going to go two or three parts of this thing. But you got people like Tony Evans. He was one of them. Joseph Prince. He's another one. Several other of these guys. You know what they all talk about? It's good in you. You are real good. And they talk about how good you are, good you are. You know what Paul said over in Romans 7:18? In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Right.
There's not one good thing about Chase Massengill. I'll just stand up here and tell everyone of you that. You know what's good? Is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
The only way I can do any good at all is for the Lord to do it in and through me. Why? That's why I had to be saved. You know, I heard a preacher say this, and I believe this to be so. He said, the worst a form of badness is human goodness. You know who some of the hardest people to talk to about the Lord is? Just good old folks that hadn't really done a whole lot. They never went to jail. They're paying their bills. They're getting up going to work. They're good to their families and stuff like that. And you ask them, say, well, have you ever been saved? Do you think God would throw me in hell? Without a thought, man. Without one thought. Why? Because Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross.
Yeah, that's right, bro.
He's perfect, sinless, spotless.
Yeah.
Now, if you could be good enough to go to heaven, why would He have to send His Son to die on the cross? That's a slap in the face to Almighty God.
Right.
Well, you know what that is? That's us resting on Him and Him alone.
That's right.
And realizing that there is a course of this world to teach you that you are good. You know what? And I'm got so many verses on my mind. I have to tell you, in 2 Corinthians 11, we'll go visit the verse later. But he tells you that Satan has ministers of righteousness. And all this sorcery and this witchcraft and all this stuff ties in, because I'm going to show you this verse in a minute. But what they do is they give you a list of rules. I've heard if your hair is a certain length, you must not be a god. Show me a chapter and verse, fella. I've heard people back when I had my big beard, I can't believe you grew that beard out like that. Man, you give me that today, I'll grow a beard down here, man, just to show you I can. Why? That don't have nothing to do with spirituality.
That's right.
People say, well, so-and-so, you know, they wear this or they wear that. Look, there's been Amish and Mennonites fight over whose hats were the biggest and who had the longest sleeves and how far you button your sleeve. That's not spirituality. I want y'all to know that the only thing that true spirituality comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and Him working in and through you and you walking with Him. Y'all, we have no spirituality on our own.
That's right.
So you got these sorceries and he's warning about this stuff, and even today we got to see how this applies to us today. And this one thing I want to show you in Acts chapter 8. Because this thing's being tampered with today too. Look at verse number 9, Acts 8 verse 9. It says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people. Now I've got a definition there. Let's see if I can I got so many things on this. I got so much research. I hope I don't get on y'all's nerves, but I want to show you this bewitching. Bewitch, that's to use charms, incantations, and to influence and affect people. Now, I'm going to show you how even Christians get into this. Let me finish the verse out. And it says, bewitch the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. You ever notice how a lot of these false teachers always talk about how great they are and what all they've done? How many? There's so-called, you know, great men of God. They'll get up there and say, well, we had so many saved. You know, and so many come down the front and all this type of stuff. Yeah, I was preaching one time. I've heard them. I was preaching one time and 15 come down the front. So what? What's that got to do with anything?
That's right.
So you know what that is? That's him bragging on himself.
Right.
We're not supposed to go by results. Why can't you just preach the truth and let people say, okay, that's wonderful. Let me go out here and apply it to my life. Why do people got to do things? You get this preaching nowadays and people think it's a wonderful... Man, we just got to run around the room. Won't that be a good service? No, keep your seat, man. That's, you'll slip and fall. And hurt somebody, hurt yourself. You see all this? He's giving out to himself a great wine because he wants you to see what's going on so he can get glory. That's dangerous. It says, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. You know what people talk about? Well, so-and-so's got power of God on him.
That's right.
That's all they talk about. You know what that's doing? That's a back door to giving man credit for what only belongs to God.
Right.
It's God's power. He can do what he wants to with it. Everything we do is supposed to be bragging on God. Okay, I got a job. Okay, glory to God. What hast thou that thou hast not received? Man, I got a good wife, got a good family. Okay, praise the Lord. Because if it was up to me, I would wreck it. If it was up to me, I would wreck this church. If it was up to me, I'd wreck my friendships. If it was up to me, I'd everything I would touch, I'd ruin. The only thing that's good is going to come of good is us saying, Lord, I want to be less like myself and more like you. Power of God. It says, and to him they had regard because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. See what happens? He's using this so-called power of God to trick people, but it brings glory to himself. It says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Watch this. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now watch this. That shows you water baptism. See, they're getting it don't value nothing. Here's this guy. He goes through this water baptism in Samaria, and watch what happens in verse number. I'll just read on down. Verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. They're still in a transition period. The Holy Ghost don't fall on you. You receive him. And you're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. It acts as a transition book. It says, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. See, we don't do that today. The book of Acts, the scripture hadn't been completed and they're doing it. That's why if you use the book of Acts as your pattern, you'll turn into a Pentecostal, charismatic, in a mix of everything. Why? Because these are apostles and they're having to confirm the word with signs. We don't lay our hands on anybody.
Right.
And even Paul later on, he said, lay hands suddenly on no man. don't be doing that. But it says this, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. See there? Here's a man's went through all the thing. Why? Just because he's trying to get more power for himself. His heart wasn't right. How do you know? It says, saying, give me. Look at that. Give me. Also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. Well, you know he hadn't believed, right? Because he wouldn't have to worry about perishing.
Right.
Anybody that believed on God through this thing didn't have to worry about perishing.
Right.
All right, it says, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. See, it's a gift. It says, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Now you see what his heart wasn't right in the sight of God. Now what you have is, here's people who want power for themselves. And they see how money's connected to that. What can I give monetary wise and all this stuff to get this power? Which, you know what you have today with that whole, and I'm telling you something. I'm telling y'all about this because the movement that you see on TV and stuff like that, all that stuff is growing by leaps and bounds. And one of the things that they don't realize is, you can give that to Brother Mike, when you're in here, and in early Acts, or before the stoning of Stephen especially, and then after they stone Stephen and the Lord goes to Apostle Paul over here, you still have the diminishing. Romans talks about the diminishing of Israel. They didn't know what all was going on. So while they were in that transition period from law to grace, from Peter to Paul, and as the scriptures were being written, there was still some of these manifestations of power going on. You know what happens? People mix that thing up, and they don't realize by the end of Paul's ministry, you know what he tells? He said, Timothy, use a little wine for your stomach's sake, and often infirmities. He says over there, he said, I have left Timotheus at Miletum sick. Why? Because by the end of his ministry, he didn't have to have those sign gifts anymore. The scripture was completed. And all that stuff wasn't needed anymore. So you know what you have? You have people trying to get back in here and over in early Acts and say, you've heard them say maybe, kingdom authority. No, you don't. You know what that Bible tells you today? The weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 and 6, are not carnal, but that means they're not of the flesh, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. You know how you fight the world, the flesh, and the devil today? The sword of the Spirit, Ephesians. That whole battle has to do with loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with truth, having on the shield of faith, all these things, the helmet of salvation. It says the sword of the Spirit, then praying always. It's all a spiritual battle. So you know how people are messed up? They're getting focused on physical things and saying, how can I fight this physically? Amen. When the whole thing is we try too much instead of trusting.
That's right, brother.
I know with me, there are so many things in my life, as I look back on it, and the more I read the Bible, I say, I was trying too hard right there. I was trying to do it in power of my own flesh.
That's right.
And then as soon as you start trusting the Word of God and saying, the Bible said this, I wish I would have checked this with the Word of God. I had all this trouble, but I was having this trouble because I wasn't checking it with the Bible. I was trying to figure it out. And God says, hey, I've already got it figured out right here. That's like the whole deal about it. You hear all these sermons about the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. Let me tell you, if you will go by the revealed will of God in the Word of God.
That's right.
And go, and like, you just type in will of God in the Bible. You go through there and Apostle Paul tells you all these things about the will of God. And you know what? The right road will lead to the right place. As you walk in the revealed will of God, anything you don't know about, the truth will show you naturally in your life.
Yes,
you apply those principles to your life, and guess what happens? If you know the will of God, if here's, okay, you got a choice between two jobs. If this one job's going to keep you from providing for your family, and being able to spend time with your family, being able to spend time with the Lord, it's obvious. I don't even have to pray about it. I know, okay, according to the Bible, I'm supposed to be a good husband and be a good dad, and then I'll be able to serve the Lord. So if I get here and I take this one right here, it's going to lead me away from those things that the revealed will of God says. I know I'm supposed to take this other job that would get me in line with what God's Word said. So all that, it becomes easier. Now, I tell you this, that's like the frustration. You're talking about frustrated. You get back over here and try to get things that don't apply to you. That's why so many of these people are so frustrated. They'll get up there and they'll go to these services, you know, and they'll be out there and there'll be sick people all out there. And they'll say, man, you can just speak things from within you. If y'all ever heard them sermons, man, I listened to a couple of them this weekend doing research. And it's just sickening, man. Why? They say, if you'll just bring in these positive thoughts and all these positive thoughts in your mind, you know what that is? The devil's trying to mess up your thinking. The positive thoughts is supposed to be thinking about what the Word of God says. That's how you renew your mind. Align your thinking with the mind of Christ, and it will keep you from all the wicked thoughts of the devil. Because they say, if I just think positive, look, you can stand there and think positive thoughts all you want to. But if your boat is sinking, you better start dipping water out.
Amen.
And you think, well, positive thought, you better either start trying to paddle and or jump out and swim. Why? Because you got this whole positive thoughts mentality today, and you can't even start your car without a positive and a negative charge.
That's right.
You got to come there and say, all right, here's the negative, and the positive will be, if I respond correctly here, we can get out of this mess. But you know what? People try to blame things on God and the devil whenever they didn't do right by the Word of God.
Sure.
You know, I heard people say, I'm just broke as I can be, so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, there's different reasons. But you got some people, they'll run up $10,000, $20,000 on a credit card and say, well, I don't know why I ain't got no money. Mm. Well, you can't do that. You can't just go out here and go on vacation. Look, we knew people that would, we'd look up and here I go going with a rabbit. I'd look up and they'd be in Missouri and they was at Nashville and they was going to Gulfport and they was going down here to Mobile and we was like, how are they affording this? And they was inviting us. I was like, I can't go. I got to go. I got to work. I got bills to pay, man. We can't go. Well, here, after a while, they done racked up a whole bunch of debt. And I was like, look, we're about to file bankrupts.
Mm.
I don't know what God's doing to us. He's putting us through. God ain't putting you through that.
That's right.
They put it through their own self. You know how people blame, you know what they do with God? If something don't happen, they'll say, well, so-and-so didn't get healed. And God said he'd heal over here. And now they blame God. Let me tell you something. That over there, God was showing them he was the Messiah. He was showing them who he was.
That's
according
right.
to the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you that today there's a lot of good people that die of all kinds of diseases.
Amen.
And they way better off than what I am. They're way closer to the Lord than what I am. You're just living in a world nowadays where a lot of good people don't live very long. A lot of bad people live a long time.
That's right.
You can't just put your hand down on it today while you're walking by faith and not by sight. You're not in that healing program. So you know what you have? You got these sorceries. And you know what you got? You got a lot of this stuff's done by trickery. They'll go to these services and they'll say, well, we know so-and-so got healed. Now, you ever notice most of it's always on the inside? I think it was 60 Minutes. They done a study, and they went back and done a follow-up on some of these churches so-called that's having all this healing and stuff. And you know what? They go back there, and none of them were healed. During that service, they claimed it.
Yeah.
But you go back, and I think you can search it out on YouTube. I think it's a 60 Minutes study or something like that. And I tell you, none of them. You know what that is? It's sleight of hand and deceive them by sight. And that stuff's going on today because people go by feelings and they go by sight. So you know what we got to do? We got to go by the Word of God. It's just every Sunday it's going to be the Word of God, the Word of God. I'm showing you how not to get fooled there. And this guy right here, he brings up the fact that he's the power of God. Let me show you another thing about this sorcery. Look at I think it's Isaiah 47. Maybe it's Isaiah 47. Let me try this verse. There's several good ones in here. Yeah, this is going to be one I want you to mark just in case. And then we'll go to Exodus 7. But I want you to notice in anything you do, there's buzzwords. That's like I'm trying to get more and more sounding like the oracles of God. The Bible says speak as the oracles of God because I'm realizing there's a terminology for anything. It's like you go to be a doctor or whatever. Doctors have got certain terminology they use. Lawyers have got certain terminology. The Bible has got terms God wants you to use because the world's ever changing. And you got all these terms that the devil uses, but they use a lot of this buzzword stuff, and it's like the divine spark and rising up in other levels. Like we're going to take you to a whole nother level. None of that stuff is biblical. You ain't got to worry about levels and stuff like that. You know what? The ground's level at the cross. How about that? Nobody's any better than anybody else. One of the worst things you can do is think you're more spiritual than somebody else. You know what that Bible says? Not comparing ourselves among ourselves.
That's right.
I've learned this in walking with other believers. There's different believers have strengths in different areas. There may be somebody that don't know a whole lot of verses, but they got excellent common sense and they can help you in that area. With the body of Christ, we're supposed to help each other. The hand has a different function than the eye, and we're there to help each other. You get over here in Isaiah chapter 47. Watch what it says in verse number 7. The context is Babylon, chapter 47, verse 1. It says in verse 7, "And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever." Nothing's ever going to happen to me, see. You get these people where they think they can just live all crazy and they're never going to die. It says, "So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures." You see how that whole thing is tied up with that attitude. You say, how do they get to the attitude to saying in their heart, "I am"? Like this one guy, his Stephen Furtick. He gets up there and tells his congregation, "He is Almighty God." Well, yeah, now how did he get to this attitude? I know, according to the Word of God, that this is how this happens. It says, "He's given to pleasures that dwelleth carelessly, that saith in his heart." His heart went bad because he's given to pleasures. I don't even have to find out anything that's going on in that man's life, and whether it comes out on TV one of these days or not. The fact that he says, "I am and none else besides me," you know what you find out right over there? You find out that a man like that, instead of living to please God, is living to please himself. So something in the background, come on, sweetheart. You think that ain't the sweetest voice in all the world? See if she'll stay with you just a minute. But now, that's the thing. The Bible tells you over in Romans, we're not to please ourselves. So how can I apply some of this to my life today? I'll tell you how. As soon as we start getting to where we'd rather please ourselves than God and others around us, it'll start destroying your walk with God. And then as your walk with God gets destroyed, your friendship, it'll trickle on down and destroy your relationships, your friendship. The whole thing is how can I be a blessing to my spouse? How can I be a blessing and help to my children? How can I please God? I tell you how I can please God. I can't touch God. I can't see God. So I can serve God by being a help to those around me. That's how you keep your relationships right. So I'm not a marriage counselor, but I know according to what the Word of God said, if you put your spouse first, then everything else is blessed. You know what? Here comes this rabbit, man. I spoke to a guy, and we was talking about his wife and everything. And this guy, I'll never forget this. He was telling me how bad his marriage was and everything. And his wife, you just wouldn't believe how she treats me and everything. I said, "Well, if you don't mind, you came to me, so I'm just going to ask you about this. Carry me through a day." He said, "Man, I get up in the morning, and sometimes she cooks me breakfast and stuff. Sometimes the breakfast is kind of cold and things like that." And I said, "All right, so what happens?" He said, "Well, I go to work, and I come back home, and I'm hungry, and sometimes the supper not ready till 7 o'clock, and then I'm ready to go in there and rest and stuff." I said, "So she home by herself all day?" "Oh, no. She has to take the kids to school, and she's got to work. She gets off like 3:30, and she..." I said, "Hold on just a minute now. She's working like you are, except she, not only is she working, she's doing everything else, and you're mad at her because your breakfast gets cold every night." You see what happened? That guy has given himself over to pleasure so much, he's blaming on the wife things that he's responsible for. I'm just saying that could happen to anybody on both sides. I just use him as an example. So you see what happens with all these false teachers? They get given the pleasures, and their attitude, see, the attitude of the teaching will rub off on the congregants. So you get over here, and people say, "Well, I'm going to listen to so-and-so, so-and-so. He has this attitude right here. You're the best. You are wonderful." And all this stuff that comes out, just think positive, positive. Well, then all of a sudden, those around you ain't as good as you are.
That's right.
Why? Because this lady said, "I sit a queen forever," and all this type of stuff. She's better than everybody else. And you know what you have? Then you turn into what Jesus was dealing with over there in the Gospels, the Sadducees and Pharisees. And you know what they thought? They thought they was better than everybody else. And you know what happens? That attitude is prevailing now. You say, how you know? It's in all kind of, it's completely permeated our society. Why? Here are people who are completely reliant on a governmental system to support them, and a lot of them, probably the majority of them on it, don't need to be on it. So you know what that's saying without them saying that thing? It's supposed to be for people who really need it. They're saying, I'm so good, I'm good. You need to work all day and then support us in what we're doing.
That's right.
You say, well, how'd that attitude come? It come from the devil giving them an attitude of pleasures over pleasing God and helping others. So they get to the place where, hey, I'm up here, I am, and you do everything for me, everything's about me. You know what that Bible says by the end of the church age? The attitude of prevailing even people who go into church and so-called, I don't believe in reading the Bible and believing it, but it says they're going to be lovers of their own selves. Well, you know what it says? Matches it. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Look, it says more. It didn't say they didn't love God. It said they love pleasure more. Now, you know how we can defeat that? Get to the place where we'll say to ourselves, okay, if the Bible says something that goes against my flesh, the flesh is wrong and the Bible's right, and I'm going to put God first and others next and myself last.
Right.
It's that simple. As soon as we get to the place where we're always first and everything, look, it goes into anything. If you go, you ever been to a drive-thru? And the drive-thru window's taking a long time. You can see people. I've seen people literally go, and you look at them in the rear view mirror like, "Huh? Well, you're going through a drive-thru. It's faster than it would have been if you cooked it at the house." Well, see, we've gotten in such a hurry that even when, and look, a lot of these places can't find anybody to work anyway.
That's right.
So you go in there, and one or two people, they're going back and forth. We're like, "Hurry up!" But I'm saved. They don't want to hear that from you. You know what? We've got to get to the place where we're putting other people first. Well, we're living in a world where everything is me first, me first. You know what this sorcery and all this bewitching is? That bewitching has to do with influencing people. And in Galatians, let me see how much time I got. Oh, man. Look at Galatians 5 right quick. Galatians 5, you got a checklist to see. He gives these believers over here a checklist. And chapter 5, to see whether you're in the spirit or in the flesh. Alright. So all you have to do is say, alright, well, I'm going to go in the Bible. I wonder if I've done this by the flesh or done it by the spirit. The spirit will produce in you things that are of the spirit. You can try to counterfeit it, but I'm going to tell you something. The more you walk with the Lord and you walk in the truth of the Word of God, love will naturally come out of you. You won't have to force it.
Right.
You ever wonder how some people are close to the Lord and all of a sudden somebody's done them wrong and they're like, it's not a big deal. Not a big deal anyway. We'll get over it. You know what that is? That's they're walking with the Lord and the Lord's producing that in them. He produces the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not of you. Joy. There's some people going through some things, man. You're like, how in the world are they even functioning right now? It's not happiness, it's a joy on it. They know how to pick up and carry on because the Spirit is producing something in them they couldn't do their own self. Peace. Man, some of the stuff that goes on in this world and the believers can have peace, they didn't produce that. Their walk with the Lord and their application of truth in their daily life, the Spirit produced that peace in them. All these other things. So you got this work of the flesh, and one of the works of the flesh over here in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. So this is how they manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. Watch this one. Witchcraft. Now, stubbornness, witchcraft is as the sin of rebellion. That's rebelling against things of God. That's what Saul did over in the Old Testament. But you know what witchcraft and bewitching and stuff like that is? That has to do with influencing people beyond their free will. Trying to manipulate people.
That's right.
You know what people do? They'll manipulate you in relationships and stuff like that. Well, if you don't do this, I guess I'll just have to do so-and-so. And you know what? We start manipulating each other and stuff. That's a form of witchcraft. He's telling people, that's the flesh. Why don't you just give people a free will? If they want to do it, they can do it. If they don't want to do it, Just give them their own. Why do people, what they say, well, I'm not walking in the flesh. This whole thing that he's saying is going to end up culminating into sorceries and all this stuff in the Old Testament. He's warning these believers, right? He's saying witchcraft is a work of the flesh. So you get these preachers up here, and I just they say, I tell you what, I've heard it so many times. If you don't tithe, God's going to do this, 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 and this to you. God does not extort you. You know what He's trying to do? He's trying to get you. He's trying to force you into doing what He wants. They don't realize that's a form of witchcraft. People say, if you don't serve God, this is going to happen to your family, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen. God never told you that.
That's right.
Why? Because everybody's got a free will. You know what? I've seen people come up in families. Man, they were their mothers and dads. They drank around them, cussed around them. Everything you could think of, whipped them, made them do it. And guess what happened? They come up, they serving the Lord, loving the Lord, good to folks and stuff like that. I have seen now, I'm old enough now to see people I went to high school with. They were raised, literally going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. They don't go to church. They sure don't read the Bible, and they hate the Lord. You know what? They got free will.
Right.
You can't stand up there and say, and believers do this, well, so-and-so's doing this, and you ain't know, them kids going to turn out so-and-so. Nobody knows.
Right.
Nobody knows. That's between them and God. There's sermons out there on Sermon Audio right now. I clicked on one just to make myself mad a little bit. And this guy went into this whole little spiel of stuff. And man, I'm going to tell you something. After about 15 minutes, I was so mad. I said, man, I wish I'd have never even heard that. You know what that is? That guy's getting up there putting and producing. That's witchcraft. That's a work of the flesh. Trying to get people instead of giving them free will and saying, look, this is what the Bible says. You do with it what you want to, because now I've told you the truth. It's up to you and God. And God gives you free will. Now, you know what the devil tries to get you to do, though? All right, you do got free will. But see, he don't want to tell you about the consequences of sin, though. See, sin has consequences that when you do that, the consequence of that sin will come out, and then what happens? People start to blame God. Now, the devil, he didn't force Adam and Eve to take of that fruit.
That's right.
But you know what happens? The first thing that happened, Adam took of that fruit, and he said, hey, man, it was the woman. And the woman says, well, it was the devil. You know what sin does? When the consequences start coming in, they start blaming other things. You know what they should have said? I was an idiot.
That's right.
I should have never believed the devil's lies. Instead of owning up to truth and saying, God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Bible says in John 8:44, I can see it in the margin of my Bible right here. He said the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He was the first murderer. He killed Adam right there. Why? Because that day Adam died. Spiritually. You know what the devil wants to get people to do? Die spiritually. You know what his program is for today? To blind minds to the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And he knows that once people get saved, the devil can't mess with a saved person in the same way that he can with a lost person. And we're going to see that as we get on in the Mark study and stuff. If you've trusted Christ, your spirit is cut, I mean your soul is cut away from your flesh. That's the operation of God, Colossians 2. So that the sins of your flesh can no longer touch your soul. That's how come he can say your soul is saved. Okay, that's why I can't, you know, you talk about people saying, well, so-and-so's in the flesh. A believer is no longer connected to his flesh. He tells you the works of the flesh. But a lost person, the works of the flesh and the world and the devil can literally control that person so much where he can literally take their mind and use their body for his anything he wants to do.
That's right.
Now with us, all we have to do to get out of the snare of the devil, 2 Timothy 2, we'll go over all this in detail later, is once you repent of you not believing the truth right, you repent of that, and then you accept that truth, you get out of that snare in that area. It's amazing how that thing works, because see, a believer has access to the truth, where you know what an unbeliever does? All they have is just more lies of the world. Okay, well, I got out of this, I turned over a new leaf. Now I'm going over this other thing. And then they get over here, and all it is, it may teach them a little bit more form of morality, but his ministers of righteousness, you know what happened? Well, I'm doing good nowadays. I don't do so-and-so. We went to the AA meeting and so-and-so, and they told me about a higher power. Who cares? Higher power, is it the Lord Jesus Christ or not? Why? Because there's another Jesus spoken of in the Bible. If you don't get the biblical right Jesus, you got a wrong Jesus. And with a wrong Jesus, you got a wrong spirit. And he just goes right back into deceiving them more. So you know what that does? When I study stuff like that, I say, Lord, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the truth. And thank you for other believers that believe the truth.
Right.
Because without it, we're lost. I mean, literally, without the truth, you don't have anything to go by.
That's exactly right.
All you have is just guesswork. I'm telling you something. Everything in that Bible, right? It's my job to show you everything in that Bible is true and right. And we're supposed to take it and use it in our daily life.
That's right,
Let's close out. Heavenly Father, I sure do hope something was a help this